Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
So I tweeted out a picture of Scott Wagner with his pet duck. And you got to go. You know, his social media team had to know that the duck took a dump on him and it was all down the side of him. And they still tweeted it out anyway. It's one of those things where you got to wonder if even his social media team wants Tom Wolf to win. I know I want Tom Wolf to win because, look, this guy has just run an abysmal campaign. How do you take $1 million from billionaire Betsy DeVos and then lose it on Wall Street? How do you do that? And then come back to the voters with a straight face and go, trust me, I will be a good steward of your tax dollars. How do you do that? How do you then come back? And understand, this is a guy who has just belittled public education at every opportunity when he was in the Senate. Now he's turned around and said, no, we're gonna add $1 billion. We're gonna bring money in. We're gonna fund education. You go, what? What about the about face? How? Could it be you're full of what the duck put on your pants? I don't know. I'm here to share some thoughts on that. I've asked our good friend Stephen Singer to come talk with us. Stephen is the Badass Teacher's co-director of blogging and research. He's also the author of a fantastic book, Gadfly on the Wall, A Public School Teacher Speaks Out on Racism and Reformed. Stephen, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much for having me back, Rick. It's always nice to be here.
So what do you think so far of the gubernatorial race here in Pennsylvania? As I think Tom Wolf is running a very stable, steady campaign. And Scott Wagner just keeps making himself look like himself.
It's a good summation. I mean, is it a travesty or is it a farce? I'm not quite sure. It's funny you mentioned that whole thing with the duck. I remember I saw that picture on social media and they had some contest, to come up with a caption. I think my two captions were "What the Duck" and "The Fowl Meets the Foul" with different spellings of foul. But I mean, the thing is, you don't want to laugh too hard though.
Right, because he could be our governor.
Donald Trump's our president. So Scott Wagner is, running for governor. That makes perfect sense. You know, in a world where Donald Trump can be president, Scott Wagner can be governor.
Yeah.
Even though he's a clown, he's a fool, he would be absolutely horrible for our state. But the sad fact is, where we are right now, you can laugh, but don't laugh too hard because you might be laughing at yourself.
Yeah, because the reality is, and I've talked about this, if Wagner becomes governor, and we maintain the composition of the General Assembly, Pennsylvania immediately, without question, is a right-to-work state. And all of the ugly ALEC legislation, all of the ugly Heritage Foundation legislation, all of the anti-worker, anti-consumer, anti-minority, anti-LGBT legislation is immediately law day one. I mean, it's just rammed right through.
Exactly. I mean, Tom Wolf is the only thing right now that is keeping the state of Pennsylvania stable. The fact that, our legislature, our Republican-controlled legislature is out of control, and the fact that, we have wolves in there is really what's keeping us alive right now. I mean, my hope is that we can, the Democrats can gain more seats this election, but, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I hope so, but we absolutely have to have Tom Wolf in the governor's mansion there.
Yeah, and Wolf has tried to do what he said he was going to do, which was to bring some additional money into public education. After Tom Corbett made massive cuts, and I would argue massive and deep and painful cuts, Wolf has tried to bring some of it back. It hasn't been enough. It hasn't been fast enough. But you have to understand, you're dealing with a recalcitrant Republican General Assembly who, they're the ones who took the $1 billion away. So the fact that he's been able to make these accomplishments, I think is a huge step in the right direction and a huge testament to how good he is at doing the job.
I agree. I mean, he's been a very competent governor. He's definitely has his heart in the right place, and he's been trying to make sane, sensible solutions to the problems we have. And he balanced the budget. I mean, that's you know, what a bipartisan kind of, you know, middle of the road, sensible thing to do. That, you know, it doesn't matter what party that you belong to. And I'm glad you brought up the whole budget, because I don't know if you watched the debate they had, what is it, about a week ago? The only debate they had between Wagner and Wolf. I mean, Wagner is still telling the same lie that Governor Corbett was telling, and that Governor Corbett lost on, about the budget. You know, when Alex Trebek, who was the moderator, said, you know, oh, we were hurting because of the $1 billion that were cut under Corbett. You know, Wagner said it was a lie. He said it wasn't true, which is the same thing that Corbett has been saying. I think we have to, every time the Republicans pull out this zombie argument, we have to, we have to fight it. We have to tell them what the truth is, because the fact of the matter is that, yes, you know, there was stimulus money we got from the federal government for one-time infrastructure improvements and things like that. But the thing that Wagner and the Republicans are leaving out is the legislature cut money used to run the schools at the same time, and they plugged that hole with the stimulus money. They shouldn't have done that, right? So then when the stimulus money went away, they pretended like, you know, the amount they were giving at that point was the same as it was beforehand. It's almost like, you know, if someone get like a couple $100 from your grandmother for your birthday or something, and then your boss stops paying you your salary, you might be okay for a week, you know, but then next week you need your paycheck. You know, you can't have your boss say, well, I'm just paying you the same amount I paid you last week. It's not the same thing.
Right.
You know? And then we had the whole pension thing, where Governor Corbett actually tried to say, oh, you know, I didn't cut education funding. I increased it because he adds something from column A into column B that doesn't belong, you know, the whole pension thing, which didn't fund classrooms. It paid the bills that were already there. And that's what bothers me, because Wagner, in bringing this stuff up, when he says he's going to increase education funding, it's clear what he means is he's going to, quote-unquote, increase education funding, the same way Governor Corbett, quote-unquote, increased education funding by cutting it and have creative accounting to make it look like it's increased.
Yeah, and, you know, on the pension issue, you know, again, I have to bring up the fact that for a decade before, they chose not to add any additional money to the pension, and in part created the crisis that they're now trying to use to destroy it. And again, they went and they did some things on the pension issue that, you know, look, a lot of public sector workers weren't thrilled with, but it was a compromise, and it was something that hopefully will solve the crisis that was created by our General Assembly and, you know, the governor not going back to Ridge, not making the contributions they were supposed to make at the time.
Exactly. I mean, it's a problem that was a long time coming, and it's a problem caused by both Republicans and Democrats. But it's Republicans that are trying to use this problem to shirk their responsibilities to our schools.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, you got Scott Walker or Scott Wagner. Well, I think he would be just as bad as Scott Walker.
That's a Freudian slip right there.
There it was. I think Wagner, you know, I'm sure you remember his statement that we could get rid of 10% of the teachers, no one would miss him. He was up in his helicopter looking down and said, you know, the grass is cut, and, you know, there's a roof on the building, everything looks fine. You know, as a teacher, what did that mean to you? What did you think when you heard that? And is that something you're telling other teachers about, that this is how he feels about your profession?
It's so clear. I mean, his bias against educators. I mean, he brings it. Not only did this, it's not like that was a one-time thing. You know, he had this mad moment where he did this. He does it again and again and again. You know, he continually harps on how much he thinks teachers are making, whereas, you know, he's not going to show his tax returns. We can't see how much, you know, he makes and how much he stiffs his own workers. But it's these teachers, you know, we're making too much money. He brought it up at the debate, too. Terry picked an example of a college swim coach who he thinks makes too much money. They bring up these comments, like the one you mentioned about the cut to 10% of the teachers, and he doesn't deny it. He never denies it. He might try to change the subject, but he never denies it. So it's a pathology with him. And I think it's just very clear that he is absolutely against education, he's against teachers, and he doesn't care who he has to hurt. And the people he would hurt would be the students, yeah. the children of this state. All you have to do is listen to him for, 5 minutes.
Do I have to? Do I have to?
No, you don't.
I mean, but here's the thing. I look at the fact that he took $1 million from billionaire Betsy DeVos. And education, I think that tells me everything that I need to know about how he feels about public education.
Absolutely. I mean, isn't that crazy, too? I mean, Betsy DeVos used to be one of, shadowy money figures. And now she's an actual, government flunky who's also a shadowy money figure. We've eliminated the middleman. Now the people who are pulling the strings are right there doing it, with no subterfuge, right here high, I'm not hiring someone to stab me in the back. I'm actually doing it myself, and I'm hiring someone to stab me in the back. It's just crazy.
No, it is crazy. And you look at all the things that could possibly happen. I mean, the issue of guns in schools. I mean, if we have someone like Wagner in the governor's mansion, and my fear is that every classroom in this Commonwealth, there's an AR-15 on the blackboard.
That is an issue that obviously hits pretty close to home for me as a school teacher and as the father of a daughter who's in public school. The last 2 weeks we had two active shooter drills in my school. And the thing that just drives me insane about it is we have given up on the idea of preventing, shooters. It's become an issue of, okay, what do we do when it happens? Because it's going to happen. What are we going to do then? And in the shooting drills that I was in recently, what the law enforcement is telling us is the most important thing isn't to hide. It isn't, it's that you have to do something, They tell the teachers, you got to do something, whether it's, you throw something at them or you get on top of them or whatever. You got to do something. And I hear that, and I think to myself, well, isn't that nice? The teachers need to do something. I wish someone told the people in Harrisburg that they need to do something, or the people in Washington that they need to do something, because you can't solve this problem if our policymakers won't do something. We have more guns than people in this country. If you don't stop that, if you don't do something about that, it doesn't matter what we do in the schools. Back in 1999, in the wake of the Columbine shooting, the Secret Service and the U.S. Department of Education had advice for us on what we should do about school shootings. And it wasn't the stuff we're doing now. Police officers in school, metal detectors, cameras, it wasn't that stuff. It was to pay attention to what's happening in our schools, to the kids in our schools, to what's going on around our schools, the communities, to make those places safer. But that has completely fallen by the wayside. Now it's all, who are we going to arm? How are we going to turn the school into a prison, into a fortress to keep out all the negative elements from around the community? But the school is the community. You can't keep it out. You can't. It's folly. So it just seems like we're fiddling as Rome is burning.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times. A good guy with a gun, Stephen. It's what we need. We need Stephen Singer, a good guy, to have a gun in the classroom so that when it happens, because you said it's going to happen, you can shoot back.
I love the spaghetti westerns too, but I don't think that that's what reality is. I love Clint Eastwood, but
you're not Dirty Harry.
I like that too, but I'm more of a spaghetti western. more good, the bad, and the ugly, I think, is my sweet spot.
All right, so no, go ahead, take the test. All right, I got you.
Yeah, that would not make my day. No.
But here's the thing, and this is the question I keep coming back to, especially with teachers, like yourself, is it something you could do? I mean, at the end of the day, it seems like this is where this is the only policy position that Republicans seem to have, armed camp and teachers with guns. And, I don't feel comfortable with that. I mean, because, accidents happen. People drop stuff. Kids touch things. I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts.
It's so clear. I mean, there's so much evidence on this. I mean, I believe I read an article in Scientific American that came to the conclusion that, you know, guns are associated with an increased risk in violence and homicide, not greater safety. You know, I mean, there's so many statistics and research that shows this is not going to make things safer. It's going to make things worse. I mean, in school, you can't have something in the school that the kids are not going to get into. I mean, cell phones, kids get into, you know, not my cell phone personally, but I mean, how many teachers have had, you know, kids get into their cell phone and, you know, look at their pictures or, you know, text for them or things like that. And that's just cell phones. If you have guns in the school, no matter what you do with them, the kids are going to get a hold of those guns, and it's going to cause chaos. It's just going to make things worse.
Now, it doesn't seem to be a fix. It seems to be something that could quite honestly get things worse. Last line of questioning I've got for you, because, you know, the state of Pennsylvania, you know, I think we've talked about this in the past, because, you know, we've opted our kids out of the standardized test. But the Commonwealth has, you know, the General Assembly has decided that the Keystone exams are not going to be the only graduation requirement. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I like the legislation they have, I mean, because it does seem like it will help. But, you know, you have this sort of wish that we could have common sense, you know, instead of adding all this different stuff. Okay, this will count as a graduation requirement. This will count. All this sort of baroque sort of pathways around it. Can't we just say that, you know, if you've passed your classes and you've demonstrated that you've learned the knowledge, that's good enough. Do we have to do all this other stuff to, you know, prove, you know?
That's so 1980s.
It's so straightforward. But whatever, you know, I mean, I'll take it, because it does offer a way out of the insanity. But it's a loophole where we should just have a straight shot to, you know, common sense.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Governor Wolf is he's trying to move us away from so much of the standardized tests, and I think that's one of the good things that I hope he continues when he wins a second term, and I really hope he wins a second term.
Yes, fingers crossed.
There you go. Stephen, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the work that you and the other bats do. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime.
Always great. Our good friend Stephen Singer. Check out his website, gadflyonthewallblog.com. Also, grab his book, Gadfly on the Wall, The Public School Teacher Speaks Out on Racism and Reform. Make sure to check out the Badass Teacher's website as well. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I won't stumble.